Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. While you were working, only on Money FM 89.3.
Well, earlier today, Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong said that Singapore will significantly ease pandemic restrictions and now really live with COVID-19 as it has reached a major milestone in battling the virus.
In his live broadcast to the nation earlier today, Mr. Lee said that major changes will take effect next Tuesday now that the Omicron wave is well under control. And this includes...
Groups of 10 fully vaccinated people will be allowed to gather together, dine in restaurants and F&B outlets, and also lifting the 10:30 cutoff time, or the alcohol curfew.
That's 10:30 p.m.
10:30 p.m., I should say.
Well, we have Kurt Wee, president of the Association of Small and Medium Enterprises, or ASME, join us on the line now to tell us what the relaxing of measures mean for businesses here. Hello.
Hi, Kurt. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Kurt, what's the initial reaction from the industry when this all came out this morning?
I think the industry is relieved and happy, and you know, we are very, very grateful that the multi-ministry task force has moved swiftly with this relaxation measures. The fact that numbers have been declining and quite immediately restrictions on capacity and on drinking limits has been released. Mm-hmm. It really gives F&B and some of the frontline businesses the chance to get back at scale and efficiency, right? Because they've been living with not just the two over years of COVID, but we've been facing waves and waves of tightening restrictions, and all these have led to a lot of manpower and operational disruptions, eroding balance sheet. And, you know, of course, businesses have also pivoted into digital sales and so on and so forth, but those sales channels comes with a new level of cost that does not return to business normal profits that they previously had as well. So, of course, digital channels remain one of the important mainstays, but for the restaurants and for the F&B operators to get back to normal or close to normal operating capacity of 10 a table where they can, and then, you know, no drink restrictions at 10:30, this really will allow consumers to sort of go back and spend money in restaurants to operate properly, give them time to build back their operations to strength and repair that eroding balance sheet that they've been suffering over the last 2 years.
Okay, Kurt, since you brought it up, we've been facing this manpower shortage. It got even worse during the COVID-19 restriction. Now with everything opening up, will restaurants and retailers be able to cope with this shortage, or will it take some more time to get more people to come back to work?
I don't think it's a question of whether they have to face the situation, and there's a lot of pivoting to use additional supplementary sources of labor force and even part-time workforce as well. They are really, really trying. It doesn't help that the manpower policy is tightening over the years, but that is a situation that I think it's across a line and across equal to all businesses. But one thing that's sharply moved up is really manpower costs. For a lot of SMEs in general over the last 6 months, especially over the last 1 year, but more sharply over the last 6 months. I think it's going to deal a bit of a blow to F&B and frontline businesses because they can't adjust prices as quickly as their costs move up. Consumers will not accept them. So between choosing to have revenue and to have operations slow, and accepting some losses, they choose to accept lower margins or accepting some losses just to be able to ride through this difficult period, right? So we really hope that the marketplace will go out in force and support our local businesses, support the F&B and retail operators, so that the whole ecosystem can get back to good health much quickly.
So that's the thing, Kurt. Let me just give you an example. I operate a restaurant, and from October last year, I had to cut back business hours because I didn't have enough staff. And I think at this point, now that we're looking at, you know, everything starting to go back to normal, I won't be able to go back to my normal operating hours yet because staffing is still an issue.
So one of the things that I think it's going to be quite evident, and I can see it coming, is that prices are really going to go up. And I think if you feel that prices have gone up the last 2 months, I think you have to be ready for how prices are going to continue to go up over the next months ahead. Because SMEs are facing labor cost pressures. They're facing energy prices that have multifold, and they're facing a lower level of efficiency. So, you know, I think businesses would really have to look at price adjustments in order to accommodate cost increases so that they can try best to normalize operations. I think a lot of businesses have tried to digitalize and transform and make sure where they can digitalize and have certain process or work process taken over by digital means. However, in the F&B line, in fact, most process you can't do that. You still require a person to serve. You can streamline some of the serving process and reduce manpower, but there's only so much you can do. Mm. But anyhow, I think the whole marketplace will find a new level, a new water level. Mm. And it helps that the new manpower policy has a slight preference over SME, with policy starting to consider some preference over SMEs in manpower policy. So it's challenging right now, but I'm hopeful that things are heading the right directions. Mm. We're heading to a better place. Mm.
Yeah. Well, I noticed that your social media team, at least, has very quickly embarked on disseminating the information. And also, I see that they're actually taking a poll. And it's related to what you just talked about how ready companies might be for the endemic state of Singapore to be moving forwards, right? So I'm looking forward to the results from the poll that you are taking on LinkedIn. But in the meantime, from your point of view, right, we've touched on some issues relating to labour and relating to the F&B industry. What are the kind of challenges for businesses here to be able to immediately or to more quickly benefit from this relaxation of COVID-19 rules?
I think businesses will take the next weeks ahead to adjust. I think they will actually start to hire. A lot of businesses have moved into dining shift hours, so there's specific times so that they can run more cycles. I think some of those push and transformation is good at this stage. But this allowing businesses to actually serve bigger tables would allow them better scale at a serving level, better scale and bigger ticket sizes per table. You know, that will improve margin, and they should continue to make sure that the positive changes that they've pivoted for during COVID should remain. But most importantly, I have to say, is that I think both patronizing customers and also for operating businesses and their staff continue to maintain good, safe management practices so that we do not go back any step further.
And I think it's precisely because of the concerns over the sort of safe management measures that can be effectively carried out to continue on this trend of our COVID infection rate and fatality rate that nightlife businesses, you know, such as bars and nightclubs, you know, are not included in this group of F&B businesses that are allowed to relax their measures. So what kind of hope for this sector do you see in the coming months?
I am optimistic. I am optimistic for a few reasons. I think we have a very methodological approach towards how we are policy level is managing the COVID situation. I have a level of optimism because I think the mutating variant seems to be following a traditional pathway of a weaker virus. And at the same time, we look to all of our friends and all those people around who got infected, and they're generally quite mild. So, you know, with all these taken into account, whilst continuing to maintain good, safe management practices, I think businesses should really now galvanize themselves to focus on rebuilding for growth from this point. And it's not just a domestic strategy you should focus on. If there's a regional strategy you should focus on, that's something that you should focus on as well, because you will get scale from there. So I do hold a good level of optimism at what we're looking ahead. As for the nightlife industry, I'm confident as well that they are an important part of life and leisure in Singapore, and I'm sure the government at some point in the near future will look into measures that will allow them to operate in a better position, because I know that the Nightlife Association do maintain very close exchange and communications with Enterprise Singapore and also with MTI as well.
Kurt Wee joining us here. So earlier you were really, you know, what you were doing was telling both customers and F&B operators and retail operators to manage expectations, right? And then let's add on the simplified travel framework that was also announced. This will also have a big impact on business recovery here in Singapore.
So I think the simplified travel recovery framework is going to, or the improving travel recovery framework, they are basically going to have impact on substantially on three areas. One is facilitating ease of business travelers. Two is, of course, tourist traffic. Mm-hmm. Three is, of course, the foreign talent traveling, right? Foreign workforce and foreign talent traveling.
Right.
And businesses are really looking forward to more increasingly open skies and also our land link with Johor and Malaysia. You know, on any day previously before COVID, you have at least 200,000-300,000 people crossing the border every day for work and commuting for business as well. That is a very, very important talent pipeline for our SMEs. And when you deal with overseas counterparties, although you can do it by Zoom and you can do it virtually,
it's not the same.
Physical face-to-face meeting does create a lot of warm feelings and close deals. So it is important that as the air links open up, that our businesses move very fast to take the best advantage of them. But I kind of suspect that we will be hampered by capacity issues as air links open up.
But it's not just air and land. By sea, travel to Batam and Bintan will be simplified from 1st of April. The quota of weekly passengers will also be lifted. That would be quite significant.
All the different travel links are going to be quite important in us going back into a level of strength and resilience because, you know, the state and health of our businesses really depends on this, our openness and at the same time the state and health of all the regional and global economy as well. So, you know, we really encourage all businesses to not hold back and really push forth and build back that strength and resilience.
Well, of course, there'll be those who you know, may welcome these measures, but they could be quite apprehensive about being too optimistic because we can be as open as we want if we're relying on
optimistic.
Yeah, if we're relying on foreign insource, you know, of business. And it also depends on the other regions, the other territories, right? How willing they are to let people come.
Yes, so you know, we go as hard as we can and as fast as we can, but of course we have to make the best use of how the pace at which the global marketplace opens up. But, you know, any barrier at entry or any barriers that you see, I think businesses should see that as opportunity instead of beating them into inaction.
Right. Kurt, is there a wish list, perhaps, that the Association of Small and Medium Enterprises have in further, in the next step, moving forward from Tuesday onwards, and if everything works according to plan smoothly and we don't have a relapse, what's the next step, you think? Is there a wish list that you can put together?
As far as travel links are concerned?
Everything.
Yeah, anything.
Retail, travel, F&B, anything to get back to normal.
So I think trade links are really, really important. Our land link to Malaysia is very important. And our air links with China is also very, very important because there's a lot of successful businesses that have extensive investments in China. And a lot of our businesses also are counterparties with Chinese enterprises as well. And, you know, when we go to China, we face a 14+7 or 21+7 quarantine. But of course, all these things depends on also when China decides that they are in a better position to open up. But if we can have a more preferred green lane for our enterprises with large economies, and China is a very important key economy to business, Singapore businesses, that would be really beneficial for businesses.
Maybe just one more quick question. Oftentimes, you know, Hong Kong is seen as a rival to Singapore in terms of, you know, business and talent, etc., right? So Singapore right now has opened up tremendously. In contrast, Hong Kong is still moderating. They are maintaining, it seems, their COVID zero policy, right? With this going on, with Singapore opening up now, do you see Singapore benefiting somehow, you know, perhaps slightly disproportionately from the fact that
Hong Kong remains
fairly locked down?
I think as an economy, we always thrive when others are thriving as well. Many people see Singapore as a competing economic point to Hong Kong, but actually, when Hong Kong does better, we do better.
So it's a complementary thing.
Yes. And you know, we certainly hope that they will get out of the situation that they are fast because simulating trades between counterparties is of paramount to Singapore businesses. Fortunately, I think their elderly did not have an active or sufficiently extensive vaccination rate. But, you know, I think businesses should take the view that generally, I think it's a misconception. I think when Hong Kong does better, we do better.
It should be healthy competition and not rivalry.
Yes, I think competition and openness in economy spurs better efficiencies, spurs better player, and at the same time create a stronger, more resilient workforce.
Kurt Wee is the president of the Association of Small and Medium Enterprises. There, a lot to talk about, a lot to digest with all the new changes that we will see from next week.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.